Okay, this evening I'll talk to you about the ultimate thirst quencher. And you see, there you see the water, and now she's getting in there. She's really going deep. You see, so many of us, we sort of just put our toe into the water. And some of us maybe take a sip. But I believe God is saying He wants us to get in. You know, really get in and just lose yourself in Him. So I want to talk about the ultimate thirst quencher. If some of you know that we are in a 40 days of sanctification process. So some have been battling with their TVs. Some have been battling with Mixit, Facebook. Different people have been struggling with different things, trying to lay it down to make space for God in our lives. And I've been having a wonderful time. And I read the word relatively, probably more than most. But I tell you, I'm just getting so excited about the Word of God again, like never before. Ek wil die woord verslind. I want to consume the Word. And Smith Wigglesworth, he once said, you must consume the Word until the Word consumes you. And I'm starting to experience that. And I've just, in this week, we've been talking, we've just been saying, you see, you can do church without the presence of God. You can do churchianity without God. We can sing songs. I can bring a nice message, or anybody else can bring a nice message. We can go home unchanged. But I've just been, the last few weeks, I've just been thinking about it and said, Lord, I don't like this. I don't like ankle deep. I don't like a little bit of you. God, I want, like that girl, I just want to swim. I want to go deep. Because that's where life happens. You see, a friend of mine, he tends to do silly things. So the one time they went, in the Cape, he and a few friends, they were in school at the time. And so they decided to, they were girlfriends in Langebaan. And they were in Paarl. Okay, so that's about 170 kilometers. They didn't have licenses, so they decided they're going to bicycle it in the middle of summer. So they got up around 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock, and they are not good cyclists. Only one of the three is a good cyclist. The other two guys' bikes are like rusty and falling apart, but they're going to go 170 kilometers in the middle of summer. And so I heard the story afterwards, so they got cycling at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. Around 11, 12 o'clock, it was 40 plus in the shade. And all their water was empty. And they thought, I think it was about late afternoon, they thought that the next stop is just around the corner. They didn't realize it's like another 50 kilometers or something. So now they're cycling and they don't know what to do. I mean, the sun is killing them. Their mouths are, they can't speak anymore. It's like blisters all over their lips, and it's been cracked, and they are like really freaking out because they think they're going to die, and there's no cars, nobody's stopping, and they're just trying, and there's no bushes to hide under. And then my friend, the good one that can actually ride his bicycle, he said to the other guys, okay, guys, you just stay here. I'm going to go on. So he got onto the best bicycle of the three. And so he chased on because he was hoping it was just around the corner. He says it's not coming, and it's not coming, and it's not coming. He says he's really feeling he's dying. He doesn't know what to do anymore. He is completely freaked out. And he says he's like seeing double. He is like really losing it. And at some point he says he saw like a farm something house in the distance, and he saw some cattle. And the feeding troughs of the cattle. He says he stumbled over these hedges, crawled all the way until he came to these feeding troughs. Now, you know, this is not pretty. This is not pretty. There's water, but it's like bad water, like stinking water. It's like very bad. But he says he just fell into this and he just drank because he was losing it. And when he told me that story, yes, and then the farmer came and they survived and they lived to tell the story. But I realized that thirst, you know, when you are really, really thirsty, it'll make you do stuff. It sort of cuts out everything else. Everything else fades to the background. And you say, I'm thirsty. I am thirsty. I am thirsty. And I want to talk about that a little bit this evening, about the power of a godly thirst for God, which causes us to filter out other stuff and to go for God, to go for gold, to go the whole way for God. So there's a scripture, Psalm 42, verse 2. It says, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? You see, those who actually met with God, if you go to the Bible, if you go to the men of God over the ages, those who met with God were thirsty. I mean, they wanted it. They weren't casual about it. Well, maybe not. They're desperate for the very presence of God. And this scripture says, my soul thirsts for God. There's something on the inside. I'm like dying. I'm thirsty for God. If I don't get God, I'm dead. I want God. And then he says, for the living God. What does it mean for the living God? That tells me, God, I'm not interested in just dead, boring religion. I don't want stuff about you. I don't want to talk about you. I want you. I want the living God, because life emanates from you. I want you in my life. I want to meet with you. And then it says there, and then he asks this question, when shall I come? When shall I come? When shall I come and appear before God? I want to meet with him face to face. I want to meet with God. I want to meet with God. The real one, the living one, the one that gives life, the one that quenches our thirst. And I just picked this up, this urgency. It's like tomorrow isn't good enough. Tomorrow isn't sufficient. Later tonight isn't good enough. I want to meet with God now. 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 You see, those who met with God in the Bible or in the ages, they had a thirst for God. How's your thirst? How's your thirst? And that's why we're in this 40-day thing, because we want to cut out the other stuff that's filling our thirst so we have no thirst for God. And I must say, my thirst is really, I'm getting thirsty. And I've been hearing good stuff about some of the people in the church as well. Okay, so I want to take you to a passage that I want to use sort of as a parable. John chapter 4. I'm going to run around in the chapter, but you're welcome to open there, John chapter 4. Now, this is where Jesus meets the woman, the Samaritan woman at the well. And this is very interesting. If you read the whole thing, I'll summarize it as follows. You have the thirsty one, the Samaritan lady coming to get water. She had a water pot. She comes to get some water from Jacob's well. And we can pick up from the story, she is thirsty. She is thirsty. Not for physical water only. She's thirsty for her, in her soul. How do we know that? Because later on, we find out Jesus says, no, you have had 5 husbands. And the one you're living with currently is not your husband. So this is the 6th man in your life. And son, it seems to me you're still thirsty. You're looking in all the wrong places to fill your thirst. It's causing you to try to find love in the arms of a man, but you're not finding it. And you're still thirsty. So there's the thirsty one, the Samaritan woman. And then there's the other person in the story. And that's Jesus. And he's the thirst quencher. He is the thirst quencher. And he showed this lady the way to having her thirst quenched. And so we're going to look a bit at that. You see, it's easy for us to settle for an empty shell instead of for the fullness of God. It is easy for us to settle for an empty shell instead of for the fullness of God. It's very easy to settle for the shadow, for the second best. Now look at this. John chapter 4, verse 6, it says, "Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well." It was about the sixth hour. And then he started to talk to the lady. And he said to her, "Well, you can have living waters." And then they were talking about waters and things. And then later on, she says this in verse 12. She asked this question, "Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself as well as his sons and his livestock?" Now think about that for a moment. In the greatest scheme of things, a well of water, is that significant? A physical little well somewhere. Jacob's well. Is it significant? For this woman, it was very significant. You see, she said, I mean, here's Jesus standing before her. He says, "I can give you living water." And then she says, no, but we have got Jacob's well. Do you know who Jacob was? He was a wonderful man of God. We receive all of our religious things all the way from Jacob. He was a wonderful man. He drank from this well himself. Wow, this is a special well. This is a wonderful well. This is our well. We like our well. Who do you think you are? You see where I'm going. But now let's think about this for a moment. Jacob's life. Have you been reading Genesis recently? Some of us have, starting the Bible from the start. And I've been reading and I've just realized, but Jacob's life was not represented by a few wells. That wasn't his successes. That wasn't what was his passion. Jacob's life was represented by faith in God. Do you know, if you can read Genesis, you'll find that Jacob was a man who met with God at Bethel, face to face. And he said, he called the place Bethel. This is the house of God. This is the gateway to heaven. And he saw angels ascending and descending upon the ladder. He was a man who met with God face to face. He was a man who wrestled with God personally. The one night before he was to meet his brother, he wrestled with God. It says he wrestled and he prevailed. He struggled with God. He said, "God, I'm not going to let go of you unless you bless me. Bless me. I'm not letting go." He said, and God said, "Let me go." "No, bless me. I want to be blessed." And then Jacob called it Peniel. Why? Because he said, "I saw the face of God and I lived." That was Jacob. That was Jacob. Jacob was a man who knew God, met with God, lived by the promises of God. And a huge legacy was left to him. Multitudes of children, spiritual children, and so by the way, a few wells. But was Jacob's life about a well? No. But for this Samaritan woman, it was about the well. This is so wonderful. It comes all the way from Jacob. You see, the Samaritans, they had moved away from the true faith. They were between the true Jews and the Gentiles, the unbelievers. They were sort of in between. And they held onto empty religious things. It did come from Jacob, but it was empty. Jesus said, "This will cause you to remain thirsty." You see, I believe there are many things in our lives that it could happen in the same way to us, where we also start holding on to things that are good, that are nice, that are even Christian, but we sort of off the core issue, off the core thing. And that is what happened to the Samaritans. They were religious, but they were missing the point. Could some of us be missing the point as well? They had these irrelevant religious things, but they had lost the heart, the passion of Jacob, of the forefathers before them. Could it be happening to us today? Could it be happening to us that we are settling for a religious experience that is without the presence of God? And I am saying, God, no, please no. Me, no, Lord. You see, I can read my Bible every day of the week, 365 days a year, and not actually spend time with God. I'm going to explain. I'm not saying you shouldn't read your Bible, but I'm going to show you a scripture in a moment. John chapter 4, verse 13 to 14. This is where Jesus speaks of the different types of waters. And Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again." So he was pointing to Jacob's well. He's saying, if you drink from this water, you will thirst again. If you drink of religious things, but they are empty of the fullness of God, of the presence of God, of the goodness of God, of the love of God, you're going to be thirsty. You're going to be seeking. You're going to still be trying to find something that you won't find there. Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Whoever drinks this water. In the scripture, Jeremiah 2 verse 13. Old Testament prophecy that also speaks about this whole picture of water. And it says, therefore, my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the living God, the fountain of living waters, and hewn themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Now, let me explain. What is that? Hewn themselves cisterns. Cistern is like underground storage place for water, like an artificial reservoir, underground tank. And so what God was saying to the people is, you're still interested in water, but it's sort of a different type of water. You want to do your own thing. And now you build these things to contain some water for you. It's nice religious things, but it's broken and all the water will seep out. There will be no life there. There will be no life there if you try to do it your way. You try to make a nice shell, but you remove the substance. And so God says they've hewn themselves cisterns. It's like this lady, she comes to the well and she takes some water for her in a water pot. And then she's walking back to town and it's all just leaking out. In a certain sense, that would be how it would look. But then he says, the water that I shall give him. That same scripture, John chapter 4, the water that I shall give him. Living waters. You see, there's a catch when it's come to this Christianity thing. We as humanity, we like to box things in. We like our systems, methods, everything nice sorted out. So we can just remove the element of surprise. Because God sort of surprises us sometimes. He does things in ways that we don't always like. So we like to keep it in a nice box. But you see, you can only get the living waters directly from a person. His name is Jesus Christ. You can only get it directly from a person. A person. Can you say a person? A person. Christianity is about Christ. It is about a person. It is not about a theology. It's not about a concept. It's not about a book. It is about a person. You have to meet with a person if you want to receive life. If you want to receive living waters. So Jesus was standing there with her and saying, I can give you living waters. I believe God is saying the same to each and every one of us. Are you thirsty? Are you thirsty? Are you thirsty? Are you settling for a shell, lacking substance? Or are you getting the fullness? Are you getting living water straight from the source? From the living God, because it says, then you will never thirst, and then it will become in him a fountain of water. So instead of going somewhere to find living waters, it's on the inside. It's a fountain. It's on the inside. It will always be with you through the Spirit of God. Always be with you. A source from within, the Spirit of God, not something external. I just want to touch on this, the religious spirit. This is something that sort of tries to make like the Holy Spirit. It sort of tries to look Christian, but actually it breaks down relationship. A religious spirit will always break down relationship and go to the form of religion, but without the substance. So it will, if this is the core issue, Christ, then the religious spirit will get you to veer off and to veer off. All good things, all Christian things, all blessed things, but it's not the core. It is not the core. And I really feel that God is wanting us to come back to the core. We can be even busy with completely insignificant things, even religious things, and miss Christ completely. Matthew 23:23. This is Jesus speaking to the Pharisees. And he says to them, New Living Translation, "What sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law, and you Pharisees." You see, and I'm not preaching to people out there. I'm preaching to myself. I'm warning myself. I'm saying to myself, I believe God is saying, watch it. Be careful. Keep it to the core. Keep it to the person of Christ. It says, "What sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law and you Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are careful to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb gardens." So they're very focused on the nitty-gritty details, the legal law, every last thing. But you ignore the more important aspects of the law: justice, mercy, and faith. You should tithe, yes, but do not neglect the more important things. This is Jesus speaking, but do not neglect the more important things. Then he says, "Blind guides, you strain your water so you won't accidentally swallow a gnat, but in the end you swallow a camel." How's that for interesting? You're so busy with a little nitty-gritty detail. Oh, just don't want a little gnat in my water. And then they swallow a whole camel because they're so busy with the nitty-gritty little grit stuff. And it's not the core. It's not the core. It's not what it was supposed to be. Look at this. John 5:39. Very interesting scripture. I mean, I've been speaking now for about 6 weeks about the Word of God. So is the Word of God important? Should we study the scriptures? Absolutely. I'm doing it every day. We should. But this is a but here. You said, and this is Jesus speaking to the Pharisees again. "You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they that testify of me." How about that? Who knew the scriptures better than anybody else at that time? The Pharisees. They studied. They memorized the first 5 books of the Bible. They could quote it to you off the cuff. And then the core issue stands right in front of them. The core, their main person, stands in front of them and says, "I am." And then they crucify him because they missed it. You see, you can search the scriptures and you can get lots of intellectual stuff from it. But if it's not a heart relationship with Jesus Christ, you're veering off. And you will remain thirsty. Your thirst will not be quenched. The Bible, that book that most of us have here, it points to a person, Jesus Christ. We should come to him. We should come to him. I'm going to touch this week and next week. I'm going to be talking about this, about coming to him. So it's so easy for us to miss the fullness. Because I'm going to tell you this evening, there's so much more. I'm so blessed. We really asked that God would bless the worship tonight, and he has. But I still feel that's like 5%. God, there's more. There's more. There's so much more of your presence, God. We want it. There is more. God, we want to meet with you face to face. God, we want to meet the person of Christ. Jesus is risen. He is resurrected from the dead. He is no longer dead. He is alive. We're not worshiping a dead guy from 2,000 years ago. He can walk into this place and heal us, save us, deliver us, wash us from all our sins, and make us whole and clean. He's still doing it today. But are we expecting it? Are we expecting it? So beware of losing the substance. Beware of losing the substance and settling for the empty shell. Maybe some of us, you have a relationship with Jesus, but you it's an empty shell. It's not fulfilling you. It's not life-giving. It's not passionate. Maybe there's more. Maybe there's more. I want to encourage you this evening. There's more. I want to pray with us afterwards, really trusting for the substance of God to come into our lives again. So the ultimate thirst quencher. You see, we're all thirsty. We're all running to stuff. The world, people. Doesn't matter who we are. We're running somewhere because we want to fill the thirst. We want to fill the thirst. But if we run the wrong way, we'll never get our thirst quenched. I believe an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ today is the ultimate thirst quencher. Not a month ago. You can't say, man, last month I had a good time with the Lord Jesus. That doesn't count. I can't say that with my wife. Hey, last month was good. Get over it. You know? Last year, you know, it's like exercise. Last year I was fit. Am I still fit? No. Because you have to maintain the fitness levels. Any relationship is like that. I believe the ultimate thirst quencher is an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ today. And you need to put that down for yourself as a goal. I'm saying it. I realize I've been going this whole year. Very purpose driven, very focused, doing lots of stuff, praying lots, reading the Bible. And I'm thinking, Lord, I miss you. I miss you. I'm busy with this stuff. I'm busy with doing things for you, but it's, and you're blessing it and you're good to us. But I remember there was a time in my life when I would just sit in my room, spend time with you and just weep because of your love is so amazing. It's just so fulfilling. I don't want to be anywhere else in the world. I just want to be there just on my knees before your very throne room. That is life. Everything should flow from that. If you haven't tasted it, I want to tell you, it is there. It is there. Just pursue. And you will. You will experience it. The ultimate thirst quencher. What are you okay with when it comes to Christianity? What are you okay with? Is it okay to sort of be half-hearted in the thing? Are you okay with that? You're not going to get your thirst quenched. I have found it is either like that girl on that picture all the way. Dive in, Jesus, here I come. Catch me or I'm dead. I need you. I'm getting into the Spirit. And Jesus said, whoever drinks of this water, the water that I shall give him, the water that you receive straight from me. It can even be in a meeting like this. I can even be ministering the word, but you can receive it straight from Jesus, straight from the Spirit of God. It's not coming from me if you receive it from Christ. Just receive it from Him. You see, there are loads of benefits of church, of prayer, of worship, of Christianity. Loads of benefits. Wonderful benefits. All like Jacob's well. It's all good. But if you remove an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, it's an empty shell. It's an empty shell. Don't settle for dead religious waters if you could have the living, living, living waters. Living waters, living waters. The living waters will truly feed your soul. John chapter 4, verse 10. I'm almost finished. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew, this is beautiful, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked Him, and He would have given you living water. So Jesus speaking to a lady, you don't have a clue. You have no idea what the gift of God is. If you knew what it means to have an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit, if you knew what that means, you would have asked. And if you knew who I am, if you knew who Jesus is, if you realized the effect that He would have upon your life, if the world knew, they all would be storming in here, the whole 6.5 billion, everybody, if we knew. But unfortunately, not everybody knows. And then we would have asked. So how do you get the living waters? start by asking. You start by developing a thirst on the inside of you. God, I'm not, there's more. I read the scriptures, there's more. I have the sense in my spirit saying to me, there's more. I want the whole thing. I want the whole thing. I'm not going to settle for anything less. You need to be like a pit bull. You say, God, like Jacob, he fought, he wrestled with God. Say, God, I'm not letting go of you unless you bless me. Bless me. And then God blessed him. And then we would receive living waters. And then just to end off, I just want to share this one point. And this is what we're going to pray for tonight. God needs to open our eyes to see. I want to show, I read this and it really spoke to me. Hagar, Abraham was Abraham's concubine in the book of Genesis. And Ishmael was her son, illegitimate son. And they would represent religion, dead religion in a sense. It was Abraham's fleshly way of producing a child for himself because his wife couldn't get pregnant, so he slept with a maid. And that's the father of the faith. Amazing. God loves us very much. But there's a picture of dead religion. And then what happened was Abram then had his own son, Isaac, and he cast Hagar out and Ishmael and said, you go away. You need to go, my son and my only son. He will receive the inheritance. And then they went there, the skin of water. And so they were led, or they went into the desert, and the water also was finished. And so they were sitting there. She put this boy under a bush, and she went a little way off. She wanted to see him die, and so she just started to weep. And then, because there was no water, there was no hope. There was no water. There was no way out. And then look at this. Genesis 21, verse 17. It says this, and God heard the voice of the lad. I think that's beautiful. You're sitting in a desert. There's no water. You're thirsty. You're dying. You're desperate. And it says, and God heard the voice of the lad. Then the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said to her, what ails you, Hagar? Fear not, for God has heard the voice of the lad where he is. And in verse 19, then God opened her eyes. That's beautiful. Then God opened her eyes and she saw a well of water. And she went and filled the skin with water and gave the lad a drink. But her eyes had to open. You see, living waters is one look away, in a sense. It's one step away. It is in sight. But your eyes need to open up. You and me, we need to see, oh, living waters, I want that. I want living waters. I want this life substance that comes from God. I don't want this empty sitting in the desert without water thing. I want the life. And God opened her eyes when God heard the voice of the lad. I just want this to sink into your heart. God hears our prayers. God hears our prayers. So on the one hand, I want you to say, get thirsty. On the other hand, I want to say, ask for living waters. Don't settle for where you are at. A religious spirit will get us focused on the nitty-gritty stuff. By the end, miss the core. Miss the core. The person of Jesus Christ. So I want us to make a shift this week. When you go read the scriptures, do you know what it is? This is a love letter. This is a love letter. Have you ever seen a couple at a coffee table, coffee shop table, and they are just so in love? They're like just looking at one another. Hey, Steph. Hey. just staring into one another's eyes. They're not focused on anybody else. It's just you and me, man. Really uncomfortable. But it usually makes everybody uncomfortable around them as well, because they're so, it's just the two of us, you know. Lady in Red, you know, you can sing the songs. And you see, so you could walk into a church service like this, like this evening, you could see some of us like making you really uncomfortable. Oh, that's really mushy. But that's what love does. That's where love takes us. It makes us a little bit mushy and makes everybody uncomfortable. So I'm saying, Lord, I want a mushy church. We just want to love you, and we want to be loved by you, and we want the religious spirit out of our lives, out of our house. It's about loving God, and it's about loving one another. And so I really want to encourage us to come back to just the basics. But the basics is actually it, in a certain sense. If you have the basics, the rest is very peripheral. So I want us to sing that last song that we ended off with. Just wanted to sing it. We're declaring it that you are the bread of life. Nothing compares. Nothing compares. Guys, I don't know, but the scripture says, taste and see that the Lord is good. If you haven't tasted, you won't know. For those who haven't tasted, guys, I've tasted. I'm not the best or the deepest or the most intimate, but I've tasted, and it's worth it. It's like the spies going into Canaan and bringing back the fruit. While I'm bringing back the fruit, I'm saying, guys, this is massive. We need to go there. Let's take our promised land and let's meet with God and the fullness of God. Don't settle for halfway. Would you stand with me, please? Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you that your spirit is just stirring in our hearts, Lord God, just breathing upon us, Lord God, just bringing us back to our first love, Lord God. Lord Jesus, there is no life outside of you. There is no life outside of you, Lord. So we pray, Lord God Almighty, have your way in our hearts this evening. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let's sing that song. Let's sing to a person. To a person, Jesus Christ.
Jesus.
Before we do the last bit, if you feel that you lack a thirst for God and you want a restored thirst for God, I want you to come to the front and just stand here saying, God, I want you to do a miracle in my heart. I want to come back to the core. I want to come back to just loving you and being loved by you. Just come and stand there. We're going to sing the I Surrender to You All. Lord, we bless your name. God, we are so thirsty for you, God. We are so thirsty for you, God. We want more. We want more, God. We want the peripheral to fall away. And Jesus Christ, the glorious Christ, the Savior of the world, and Him alone to be in our mind's eye, in our sight, in our focus, our target. Lord, we bless you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let's sing that I surrender to you all. To surrender your heart. God, we trust you for a miracle in our hearts and lives. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you. Just where you're standing, just pray. Even as Hagar prayed, and Jesus said, ask, ask, ask for new life to your spirit. Ask for your eyes to open. Ask to see the living waters. Jesus. Open our eyes, Lord. Open our eyes, Lord. Open our eyes, Lord. Open our eyes, Lord. God, we are willing to look like a fool before man if it means we can have your presence. We'd rather look like a fool with your presence than look dignified without your presence. Lord, this evening as a church, we just make a shift. It is about your presence. It is about knowing you. It is about loving you and being loved by you. Holy God, have your way in our hearts, Lord. Set us free, God, from our insecurities and fears of man and holding back. And Lord, in the name of Jesus. Have your way, Lord God. Let your river of life just flood our souls, Lord God. Wash away, Lord God, every distraction. Wash away, Lord God, every lie, every deception, everything, Lord God, that is keeping us from you. Wash away the things of this world, Lord God. Let it just be Christ. As the band continues, I have a bit of a challenge for us here. Must be the Holy Spirit. As the band's going to play now, I just feel we need to close our eyes and dance before the Lord. Willing to look like a fool before man, here's your opportunity. Let's go for it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Yes, sir. Lord God, we just lay our dignity down tonight, Lord God. Because we desire relationship with you, Lord. And if we need to come like a child, like you says in Scripture, come like a child, we'll do it, Lord. But God, this evening we declare as a church, as individuals, we want your presence. We want Jesus Christ. We want the living waters. And we will not settle for anything less. So, Father, we just pray your blessing, Lord God, upon your precious people. Stir the passion in their hearts. Stir the passion in our hearts, Lord. Awaken us, Lord God. To see the living waters. And Lord, I just pray for spiritual salt in our spirits, Lord God. Lord, salt, Lord God, that makes us thirsty for Jesus Christ. Thirsty to consume the scriptures because it's a love document from heaven. Lord, in the name of Jesus, let it be. We just receive spiritual salt, Lord God. We receive life. We receive it in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Just take a moment. Just tell the Lord Jesus that you love Him. Even if you don't, just speak it. Just open the door. Say thank you for life. He made you. He put you together. Lord Jesus, we love you and we want to love you more. And God, we pray that every time we come together, Lord, in our small groups or church on Sundays or any other place, God, that we'll meet with you there in our midst. Thank you, Lord. Just feel my heart that there's somebody here that you have given up or you're in the process of giving up. And I really feel God is saying, but the water is just ahead. The water is just in front of you. Let's go for the water. Hope is right in front of you. And so, Lord, we just speak hope, Lord God, to every heart in this place. Hope and life, peace and joy. And so we declare, Lord, may the Lord bless each one of us, Lord God. May His face shine upon us. God, may You keep us. May You put Your grace upon us and fill us with Your peace. We bless You for that, Lord God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If there's anybody that needs prayer, please come to the front and we're going to pray with you. But I want to say to you, Jesus is the answer. A personal, intimate relationship with Jesus is the ultimate thirst quencher. So go this week and go live it. Okay. The Lord bless you. Have a super week.